Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke.
I am going to kill him with my bare hands. I will take him by the throat and rip out his esophagus.
Worf!
I have failed in my mission, Commander. I am clearly a bad diplomat. For the sake of the ship and the Federation, I request reassignment.
Denied.
It might be kind of a silly week to talk about the other Star franchise, but actor Michael Dorn, who joins us now, has appeared in more Star Trek episodes as the same character than any other actor, playing Worf, son of Moog of the Klingon House of Martok, on both The Next Generation and Deep Space Nine. The Seth MacFarlane movie, Ted 2, is out on DVD, Blu-ray, and available for digital download this week, and in it, Michael Dorn has a memorable role as the lover of Patrick Warburton's character, both of whom cosplay at the New York Comic Con as the real-life geek properties they're best known for, The Tick and Worf.
You can begin your experiment at any time.
I'm talking to Kira.
You're not talking, you're gossiping. And besides, Odo is quite capable of taking care of himself.
Don't shout across the room. If you want to gossip with us, then come down here.
Michael Dorn, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you very much.
Ted 2 is written and directed by Seth MacFarlane, who of course also performs the voice of Ted. You've worked with him before. Where did that connection begin? When did you first meet him?
He invited the Next Generation crew to do The Family Guy. And so we did a couple episodes for that. And that's when we met. And it was very easy. It wasn't, it wasn't any monumental thing, but we all were aware of, how talented the guy is. So we all kind of jumped at it and said, yeah, great. And then after that, I think a couple of guys and I were, from the show were getting together to have dinner. And Patrick was going to be there. And they just had a meeting with Seth. And Seth said, hey, look, can I come along? and they called and we said, yeah, you bet. And so we all sat down and had a great time and had, dinner and talked a bunch of trees, and it was great. And then a couple of months later, that's when I got the call saying, what's my availability for this movie, Tattoo? And I said, fine. So a couple of months after that, they sent me the script. I read it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was, the part was really hilarious and something I would have, that I said, hey, I'd love to do it. And that's how it happened. Very easy.
Was it strange to get, I know you don't get in the full makeup for Ted 2, but was it strange or familiar to get back in the chair? And
it was familiar.
Right.
And actually, funny thing, two funny things happened is that I've been pitching a Worf spinoff for a couple of years. And when I put on the makeup, I went, it hit me again how terrible the makeup is. I mean, it is not fun.
No.
I'm sitting there going, oh my God, what have I done? What if they, what if they say yes to the series,
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing was the lady that did my makeup on Deep Space Nine, they called her and said, hey, would you come do Michael's? And she said, sure. And I went, oh my God, because I loved her. I mean, she's such a wonderful person. And we had a blast. We just talked and laughed about the show and about what we're doing. But she had to make the makeup terrible.
Right.
Because that was the whole joke, is that he went home and did this on his own. It couldn't be, really great. And she was just going, oh, my God, I'm mortified. People are going to look at my work and go, what's happened to her?
Right. She's lost her touch.
She's lost her touch, And she kept going, Michael, can I just blend the edges? No, you can't. What about the nose? Let me just blend. No, And we just laughed and laughed and laughed. It was fantastic.
In the brief time that you and I have been talking, you've already mentioned having dinner with Star Trek cast members and rebonding, reconnecting with the makeup person. So you have all positive relationships from the experience of making the Star Trek shows.
Oh, yes.
About a little bit more about the makeup. I know you haven't talked about it enough in your life, but what are there lasting effects on your skin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. The first 2 years of Next Generation, it was really, really horrible. It got so bad that I actually had to stop the makeup artist and knit makeup one day and go up to the producers. I went up right to the office and I said, guys, I got to tell you something. I love the show. I love my character. I love the people I work with. I think this is fantastic, but I can't do it anymore because I need to have a career after this is over. And if it keeps going like this, it's not going to happen. I mean, I'm going to be scarred for life.
Mm-hmm.
And to their credit, they said, okay, well, what can we do? And they got together with the makeup artist and they changed it. And it made all the difference in the world. So so the first 2 years was bad. After that, it became very, very manageable.
That's good. Was there a difference when filming a Star Trek series versus the movies? Or did filming the movie feel like filming a longer episode of the show?
Well, the one thing that that Paramount did was make a deal with the producer of the TV show, because they wanted to shoot the movie like a long episode, because movies usually take a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't want to do that. They wanted to get the movies out. They didn't want to save the money. And so that's what they did. But it's a different thing. I mean, with TV shows, they go, okay, we need to have that wall out. We need to have that done. We're going to shoot over here, point the camera in that direction. And you kind of go on with it. With movies, it's the same thing, except it takes a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've always said that, you know, like, for instance, the director will say, you know, I need to have a shot of this room in that direction. And then he calls the director of photography over, and he looks at it, and he goes, let me see. And they call somebody else over, and he goes, what do you think? Well, we're going to have to put a light up here, you know. And they go, and it takes twice as long for doing the same shot. And so that was a good lesson for me as a director, is knowing that you can do it in a reasonable amount of time. But that's all it is, just the time. And you do less. You know, where we do 7 pages a day, you know, on the TV show, you do like 2 on a movie a day. You know, we do 7 to 10 pages a day. So we're smoking along.
Right. What do you enjoy about directing?
I've always loved the idea of starting from the beginning and creating something. I've always been a creative person, and so that's what I love to be able to, you know, take a script and just say, okay, you know, this is what it's going to be, and this is what it's going to be like, and this is the tone, and these are the actors, and it's always been, you know, like, it feeds my soul, as they say, if I can get ethereal about it.
Mm-hmm.
With TV directing, you don't get that. It's basically your traffic cop. You know, it's basically, you know, the producers are the guys who are the creators, and you're a traffic cop. You know, put the camera there, put the actors there, let's go. You know, not much interpretation. So I prefer, and I really like low-budget movies.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you just don't have money for egos. Yeah, you know, everybody is there working for the project, you know, working for the love of the project, and not because, you know, they're going to make $20 million and they can, you know, start demanding, you know, a lot of stuff.
You played Dr. Carter Burke on the ABC show Castle. The star of that show, Nathan mm-hmm. Fillion, was also the star of the short-lived but much-loved sci-fi show Firefly. Did you and he have a chance to compare notes?
No, we didn't compare notes about sci-fi, but we definitely, I admired him, and he loved our show, so we got along famously. He, once again, he's one of those guys that's a really good guy and fun to work with and very professional, and, you know, he knows his stuff, but we didn't talk about that. We talked about guy stuff, about mm-hmm. cars and, you know, and flying and stuff like that, you know. But I got to tell you, since I've left Star Trek, I've done some really wonderful stuff, but I really loved playing that role.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was amazing, you know, because I got to work with both of them in a very sort of, you know, intimate way, which is great.
You just mentioned flying. You are a pilot. How did you get into that? When did you first begin flying?
I started flying in 1988. There was a writer's strike and right after the show began. And so I had a little money and a lot of time. And so I, um, a guy that I worked with on the show said, Michael, you know, because we both love flying, he says, you got to go do this. And I said, you know, I've been wanting to do it since I was a kid. And so I went out there and never looked back. I mean, it became an extreme passion of mine. And so so I've been doing that, and it's been fantastic. Definitely because of Star Trek, I was able to fly with a lot of the military and fly in amazing airplanes that civilians don't get to fly in. Mm-hmm. And I mean talking actually fly, like I'm controlling the airplane, you know, I am. And it's been just amazing.
Michael, I'm a big fan. I spent hours and hours watching Deep Space Nine with my older brother. It's a thing we still reference and discuss, and I'm just thrilled to have been able to speak to you today, and I thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Michael Dorn lovingly sends up his most famous role in TED 2, which is available on DVD, Blu-ray, and for digital download this week. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
I do not play games.